This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Vietnam is committing to buy $3 billion worth of U.S. farm goods to shrink the soaring trade surplus it has with America. Bloomberg says the Asian nation is looking to appease the Trump administration, which isn't happy about the deficit. Vietnam is also looking to satisfy the complaints of U.S. companies that face difficulties in accessing Vietnamese markets. A Vietnam Agriculture Ministry spokesman says they, quote, see a lot of room to increase purchases from America, which will significantly help narrow our trade gap with the U.S., while also noting that the demand in Vietnam for American farm products is, quote, very high. Vietnamese companies signed a total of 18 agreements with American producers to buy about $3 billion in farm products over the next 2 to 3 years. The deal includes purchasing 100,000 cows, 3 million tons of wheat and barley worth about $800 million, fruit and corn and soybean animal feeds. Vietnam's export to the U.S. totaled $61.3 billion in 2019, widening the trade gap to $47 billion, up from $34.8 billion the year before, according to Vietnamese customs data. The U.S. Census Bureau says last year's trade deficit with Vietnam was $55.8 billion, up from $39.5 billion the year before. A research institute in China says its African swine fever vaccine is proving to be safe and effective. China's Harbin Veterinary Research Institute, overseen by the Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences, says the live vaccine with reduced virulence was created from a series of gene-deleting viruses using the country's first African swine fever strain, according to Bloomberg News. The institute says the vaccine is, quote, currently the most promising one for more commercial production, unquote, potentially providing prevention and control of African swine fever. Researchers here in the United States earlier this year announced a separate vaccine that was 100% effective. However, development and availability to farmers are still years away. African swine fever is thought to have impacted 40% or more of China's hog herd. China is the world's largest pork consumer and producer. However, China is set to have a rebound number of pork imports this year due to the virus. In February, Rabobank expected U.S. pork exports to remain strong because of African swine fever and recent trade agreements. Moving on to news here from the States, the National Agricultural Statistics Service is preparing for the 2020 planting season by sending out the agricultural survey that asks farmers about planting intention. At the same time, they'll also send out the hog and pig survey asking producers about market hog and breeding stock inventory, as well as pig crop and farrowing intentions this year. Lance Honig is the chief of the crops branch at the National Ag Statistics Service, and he says there are a couple of agencies' most important reports.
The March Ag Survey, obviously a crop-based survey, gives us really the first look at what farmers are thinking about planting this upcoming crop season. Now, obviously, we think about March. It's really early in the season. In fact, in most parts of the country, farmers haven't even been in the fields yet, much less planted crops. But everyone benefits from knowing what those early thoughts are. As we look at the hog and pig survey in March, this is a survey that we do each quarter because we know we need to measure what these inventory levels look like throughout the year. March gives us an opportunity to get a look at that at this point in the year. But also, looking at those upcoming farrowing and pig crop intentions, we can't do that just once a year. We need to see that throughout the year as things go on. So that's why it's so important to gather that information on a regular basis.
Honing talks about how NAS goes about collecting the data.
All sample operations are going to receive a survey form in the mail, and that's going to give them an opportunity to fill it out, send it back in the mail at their convenience. But along with that, when they get that form, also enclosed is going to be information that gives them the details they need to go and complete that survey securely online. Again, another great opportunity to kind of do it at their convenience. We've made some significant enhancements to that process, so you can now actually do it on your smartphone or on your tablet.
Producers who haven't filled out the survey information will receive either a follow-up phone call or, in some cases, will get a personal visit to see if they need help. Honing says the people or agencies that use the information collected are those who make decisions about agriculture.
It could be individual farmers. A farmer gets an opportunity through the results of these surveys to see what other producers are doing. That can have an impact on the decisions that they need to make. Agribusinesses need valuable information about where products are produced, but they know where to locate, where to have supplies available. Transportation companies need to know where to stage their trucks and rail cars and things of that nature. But in addition to that, it's the folks who are advising others in the business, whether it's those folks advising farmers or anyone else involved, policymakers. We think about all the important policies surrounding agriculture. They need important, unbiased data to make those good, wise decisions.
The results of these surveys will be available in the quarterly hog and pig report. That'll be released 3 weeks from now on March 26th, followed by the prospective plantings report on Tuesday, March 31st. He says NAS can only produce solid information in these surveys with the help of producers who take the time to fill out their responses.
As we look at the survey process here at NAS, more response always leads to better and more accurate results. So filling out these surveys, even though it does take valuable time for producer, it really is their opportunity to help us make those results as accurate as possible. That's ultimately going to help them as well as everyone else in agriculture who uses this valuable data.
It's important to remember that the results of these surveys will be kept confidential and will only be available in an aggregate form only, ensuring that no individual operation or producers can be identified as required by the federal law. The U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says the Trump administration's trade agenda is resulting in a blue-collar boom. In Trade Policy Agenda and the annual report delivered by Congress last Friday, Lighthizer highlighted the trade accomplishments over the past year, including the signing of trade agreements with Mexico, Canada, China, and Japan, as well as enforcement actions and efforts to bring the change to the World Trade Organization. Going forward, the same report states that President Trump will, quote, continue to rebalance America's trade relationships to benefit American workers, aggressively enforce U.S. trade laws, and take prompt action in response to unfair trade practices by other nations. Lighthizer says President Trump seeks new trade agreements with the United Kingdom, the European Union, and Kenya, which would be the United States' first free trade agreement in sub-Saharan Africa. The 2020 trade agenda also includes the enforcement of commitments by trading partners in trade agreements, including the USMCA, the China Phase One Agreement, and WTO agreements. In other ag news, Secretary Sonny Perdue of the Department of Agriculture testified before the House Ag Committee, and trade aid was a big topic of discussion. Michael Conaway, ranking member from Texas, called for another round of market facilitation program payments this year. Quote, the first and second MFP programs were as justified as they were critical to our farmers and ranchers, Conway said. I strongly believe that unless something gives here soon, any announcement on MFP Part 3 would be vital to the survival of our producers. Conaway added that folks who are critical about the aid payments should talk to the Secretary on how to go about improving the market facilitation program. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson of Minnesota fears that Donald Trump's recent tweets signaled the possibility of more trade aid means the trade agreements aren't going to pay off soon. Peterson says, quote, if we weren't for the payments to farmers through MFP, farm income would have been in the tank. I hope the market returns to normal, he said. However, the president's comments do not give me confidence that we'll see tangible benefits from the new traded deal anytime soon. Perdue has repeatedly said he believes exports will grow and another round of trade aid will not be needed. In other news from the USDA, the Department of Ag has opened sign-up for disaster assistance, which will open up on March 23rd. For producers to apply for eligible loss of drought and excess moisture. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue announced the additional disaster assistance late last week. Through WIP Plus, the USDA is helping producers recover from losses related to 2018 and 2019 natural disaster. USDA is also entering into the agreement with six sugar beet processing cooperatives to distribute $285 million to grower members of those cooperatives who experienced a loss. Secretary Perdue says, quote, disaster events in the past 2 years have been atypically widespread, relentless, and unforgiving. Adding, quote, President Trump has the backs of our farmers, and we aim to support them as they recover. In June of 2019, more than $3 billion was made available through a disaster relief package passed by Congress and signed by the President. In December of last year, Congress passed and President Trump signed a further Consolidated Appropriations Act for 2020 that provides an additional $1.5 billion for the continuation of disaster assistance program delivery. Moving on now into Midwestern and state ag news, a orderly snowmelt up north should help lessen flooding concerns here in Illinois this spring. DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson explains.
You know, the idea that I'm looking at right now is that daytime temperatures are going to stay fairly mild and well above average. The overnight lows are still looking to be on a colder note, and so it appears from the bulletins that I've seen so far here on Tuesday, the bulletins are discussing the idea of a fairly orderly snow melt, and then along with that, the ground temperatures have not been just real frigid all the way down, even in the northern areas. So there's going to be some infiltration of the soil moisture as well, or the melt off, I should say. So they're, you know, they're somewhat hopeful that this is not going to be nearly the kind of severe flooding scenario that had been feared, you know, here at the first of the year. There's been a big change in the outlook over the last 6 weeks, and nobody is complaining about that.
That's certainly good news as we enter into the planting season. Anderson also says a dry and mild early start to this month of March is helping to alleviate some of the worry over spring flooding. Moving on now into local ag news, agriculture is more than farming and ranching. The Sangamon County Farm Bureau Young Leaders strives to show FFA students of Sangamon County all the possible careers in the ag industry. Coming up on March 10th, I believe that's next Tuesday, FFA chapters in Sangamon County will be taking a tour of Springfield Plastics in Auburn, where they will learn how plastic pipe solutions are made for agricultural, residential, and building, commercial, and highways for drainage. From there, they will tour the Scholar Company in Waverly to see how grain is bought and marketed across the world, and the day will finish up at Lincoln Land Community College back in Springfield to hear about their ag program and all the technology in that college program. For more information, contact the Sangamon County Farm Bureau office on this tour of Sangamon County agriculture. That number is 217-753-5200 or email lburris@sangamonfb.org. Also coming up next Tuesday, the Montgomery County Extension Office will be hosting a pop-up workshop that'll again will be held on Tuesday evening, March 10th from 5:30 until 7 at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. There is no charge to attend, but registration is required. You can complete that registration online, or you can call the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. And finally, coming up Saturday, the Highland FFA chapter will be holding a used oil drive. That'll be held at the Highland Junior High parking lot Saturday morning from 8 until 10. It'll go to support the Green for Life initiative. And if you need more information on the event, you can contact the Highland High School Ag Department. And that'll conclude this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have anything for us ag-related, that can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Thursday morning, March 5th, this is Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.